The Veterans Administration in Alaska has made enormous strides in the last few years connecting veterans with benefits and health care, but serious problems remain. Yesterday, we brought you the first part of a story about Scott Harrison, a veteran who fell into poverty while stranded between operations. One hurdle for Harrison was not being able to get a copy of his service treatment record. In this second part of the story, KSKA's Zachariah Hughes explains where that record is and what it means for Harrison going forward.
To find out where Scott's service record could be, I sat down with Forrest.
Forrest E. Powell III.
The perpetually cheery program manager for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. That name can be confusing. Even though it's got VA in the title, DMVA is not part of the Federal Veterans Administration. They work for the state as a kind of liaison between veterans living in Alaska and the national VA. And they are master explainers when it comes to breaking down a system that can generously be described as Byzantine.
A veteran has to have a service-connected disability to be eligible for VA benefits.
If Scott is going to prove that his injuries are connected to his time in the service, the section of the VA handling benefits, the VBA, needs to comb through his service treatment record, which, given his time as a Marine in the 80s, presents problems.
There's a group that did not serve during the war period, and that was right after Vietnam and just before the Gulf War. I call it the donut hole.
Powell calls it that because the consistency in record keeping at the time varied, and veterans are often confronted with gaps in what can look like a complete service record. But what Scott believed was that the VA could not find his file. In fact, after weeks of searching for what could have happened to Scott's service record, I finally found out it does exist. The VA in Alaska has had it since at least the 90s. Chad Pomelow manages the Veterans Service Center in the Anchorage VA office.
The bigger challenge is when we can't track down records.
But in this case, you have a record.
Yes.
It took me almost a month to confirm Scott's service record existed. The request was routed through an office in Portland, Oregon. And in the end, I didn't see Scott's record, but I did get authorization to discuss it with Pomelow. He tells me Scott filed an application for a service-connected injury through VBA in 1996 and was denied a few months later. According to the summary, doctors didn't find compelling evidence that the back injury was service-related.
I will say that if they didn't go get documentation of an injury, then we're not going to have evidence of it.
When I asked Scott about the benefits claim, he tells me he doesn't remember seeing the denial, which he thinks would have been an essential piece of information to have.
I've definitely made enough noise about it. I've definitely called all over about it.
And so who do you talk with at the VA about this stuff?
I've talked with social workers. I've talked with the doctors. I've talked with members of the primary care team. My understanding is it has been voiced up to the highest levels in the VA here.
Scott says he has spent an enormous amount of time trying to locate his record and has never held a copy of it. He's not alone. The scale of this problem in Alaska depends on who you talk to. Steve Harrison, no relation to Scott, is chairman of the Veterans Party of Alaska, a political group. It took him 11 years to establish his own benefits, and that, he says, is not uncommon. Harrison estimates that among his daily interactions with veterans over Facebook pages and websites, 95% have had a problem applying for benefits. He says the most frequent issue that he hears about is that a service record can't be found.
That's one of their favorite excuses, is to lie straight to the veteran's face saying that they lost them, and that's not true. So we wind up suffering and dying needlessly.
Harrison's take is an extreme. On the other side are veteran service officers, people employed by veterans groups to act as intermediaries between a claim-seeking veteran and the VA. Service officer Gary, most of the vets that he works with do get closure on the claims that they file in a reasonable amount of time.
We have a pretty high success rate if there's any evidence out there to try to get someone service connected.
This is because VSOs like Glover know what they're doing. They know the name of the forms, the right office to call, the dense jargon. Glover sees a disconnect between, on the one hand, capable bureaucrats getting several thousand Alaskan vets through the claims process, and, on the other, a frustrated segment of veterans with a poor understanding of the complicated system. Glover says the VA has to be rigorous, scrutinizing benefits claims because every tax dollar that they spend is under a microscope. And because their job is to dissect each claim that's made, they can't serve as an impartial advocate for an individual veteran's case. That is where the VSOs come in. Glover says if you're not navigating benefits claims every single day, it can seem like an unreasonably complex system.
It's very complicated. There are many different diseases or conditions or injuries, and so it's not a very simple process, and it'd be hard to simplify that.
Glover adds that the Anchorage VA office does not have enough VSOs. It can be a long wait getting a claim like Scott's seen all the way through, even with a knowledgeable advocate. In 2013, the average time to complete a disability claim was 387 days. When I followed up with Scott, he told me that now that he knows his service treatment record exists, he'll apply again for benefits, but the timeline and the complexity don't leave him feeling optimistic. He quit smoking, but otherwise his health has gotten worse, and he says he doesn't have much hope that things will get better. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.